T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the station Wichita turns to first for live team coverage of breaking news. KNSS, Wichita's number one news, talk, and weather station. Depend on it.
Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh, stepmother of missing boy, not guilty. In unrelated case, we've got the story.
Mobile home fire in southeast Wichita. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
I'm Phil Hildebrand. A Wichita couple donates $12 million to Wichita State University.
I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday. The normal high in Wichita today is 77, and we may be about 10 degrees above that this afternoon. Our forecast is coming up.
Is it on or is it off? The president is not clear if his planned summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un will actually take place.
President Trump responding to reporters when asked whether his planned summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un will still take place on June 12th. In Singapore.
We haven't seen anything. We haven't heard anything. We will see what happens.
A senior North Korean foreign ministry official has threatened to pull out of the summit, accusing the U.S. of harboring what he called sinister intentions. The president said the U.S. will still insist on the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula if the summit takes place. At the White House, John Decker, Fox News.
A man was stabbed at a convenience store in Wichita's Riverside neighborhood just before midnight Wednesday at the Circle K convenience store near Seneca and McLean. Investigators say an unknown suspect got into a scuffle with an employee who was stabbed during that skirmish. Wichita Police Sergeant Jeremy Vogel says employees then barricaded the suspect inside the store until officers arrived on scene. Stabbing victim hospitalized. Police are investigating the incident.
Wichita firefighters responded to a mobile home fire in the Oaklawn neighborhood in South Wichita last night in the 3,000 block of Sunview. Fire crews said the home was heavily involved with smoke and flames. After nearly an hour, the fire was brought under control. The Kansas Red Cross has also been called in to assist 2 adults and 3 children who were affected. No damage estimate has been given. Authorities are investigating what caused the fire.
The stepmother of missing 5-year-old Lucas Hernandez has been found not guilty of child endangerment charges in a case unrelated to Lucas's disappearance. Emily Glass was on trial for charges of endangering her 1-year-old daughter. The jury deliberated for less than an hour. Defense attorney Julia Leth Perez commented after the verdict.
On behalf of Emily Glass, her family, and Cameron and Herman, we are glad that this case is behind us and maybe the community can turn back to what's really important, searching for and finding Lucas Hernandez.
Lucas Hernandez has been missing now since February 17th.
Wichita State University says a Wichita couple is donating $12 million, representing the single largest cash gift to the school.
The university said in a news release Wednesday that oil producer Wayne Woolsey and his wife Kay committed to a lead gift of $10 million to build a new home for the W. Frank Barton School of Business at Wichita State. Wichita State said it will name the building the Wayne and Kay Woolsey Hall, a move approved Wednesday by the Kansas Board of Regents. The couple also plans to donate $2 million to the university's geology department for the petroleum geology program and field camp experiences for students. Wayne Woolsey is chairman of Woolsey Companies, an oil and natural gas exploration and production company he founded in 1978. Phil Hildebrand, KNSS News.
Officials in Hawaii are concerned about high levels of sulfur dioxide as the eruption of the Kilauea volcano continues. Hawaii's Civil Defense Administrator Talmadge Magno says not much has changed.
Today's operation is pretty much the same as the last few days. We continue to monitor any active fissures. Haven't had any new breakouts since last evening.
About 20 volcanic vents have opened in the ground so far, sending lava and toxic gases onto roads and into the residential neighborhoods around there and forcing thousands of people to evacuate. KNSS News Time now, 8:04, 4 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Road game tonight for Shocker Baseball, the final road series of the regular season. We'll have a preview coming up in sports.
And 2 lawmakers in Louisiana battle it out in a bar. That story coming up. on the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. The KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted now, 8:08, 8 minutes past 8 o'clock. Democratic candidate Joshua Savatthi has picked a former Army helicopter pilot and current local school board member as his running mate in the Kansas governor's race. Savatthi introduced Katrina Lewison of Manhattan as his choice for lieutenant governor Wednesday during a state house event. Lewison served in the Army for 15 years, led a helicopter platoon in Iraq. She was elected to the Manhattan School Board last year.
An update on cases of E. coli linked to tainted lettuce.
Nearly two dozen more cases of food poisoning linked to romaine lettuce grown in Arizona have been reported. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention saying the total number of people sickened by E. coli is now 172 across 32 states. One death was reported in California, at least 75 hospitalized, including 20 with kidney failure. The CDC says the lettuce was grown in Yuma, Arizona, and was last harvested April 16th. So it should no longer be in stores or restaurants because its shelf life is only 3 weeks. Lisa Lacerra, Fox News.
Two lawmakers in Louisiana battle it out in a drinking establishment.
That's where two state lawmakers decided to settle their differences over a bill by getting into a bar fight. The brouhaha was between Representative Stuart Bishop and State Senator Norby Chabert, both Republicans. Bishop describes it this way: "We had a gentleman's disagreement and settled it with our hands." But Bishop admits Chabert got the best of him, punching him several times at a downtown Baton Rouge bar. Chabert was mad because Bishop blocked one of his bills. Chabert saying, "I love Stuart like a brother, and sometimes brothers fight." No charges filed, and both men now say they regret the incident. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 8:10, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock.
And a traffic update here on the Thursday morning commute, and we report that traffic is running smoothly in the Wichita area on our Thursday commute. So if anything happens and we have any tie-ups to report, we'll let you know. Traffic update with Steve and Ted, KNSS.
And now the forecast with KNSS staff meteorologist Dan Holliday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. With a mostly clear sky across Wichita and south central Kansas, it's going to be sunny, warm, and dry today. We'll likely be near 80 by lunchtime, 86 for the afternoon high. That's running about 10 degrees above average. Tonight, partly cloudy, our low 64. Then tomorrow, a system moving in from the west could trigger a few afternoon thunderstorms, our high again, 86. I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday.
Now partly cloudy, 67 degrees. We have a southeast wind at 6 miles per hour. 8:11 now, Steve and Ted, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. And in the news this morning, we've been talking about the Emily Glass case. Stepmother of a missing child on trial for an unrelated case. And with us this morning to talk about it is Craig Andrus from KSN, who's been covering the story in the courtroom every day. Good morning, Craig. Nice to have you with us this morning.
Well, good morning. Great to be here. Thanks for having me on. A gorgeous Kansas morning, although typical Kansas, you never know what the weather holds.
That's exactly right. But this trial, now, Emily Glass was actually charged with endangering a child. Is that correct?
Well, that is true. And, you know, the judge said right from the start that Judge Eric Comer, district judge, told the jury of six with an alternate, making seven seated. He told them right away, he said, look, you will hear some things about Lucas Hernandez, who's been missing 3 months as of today. But he said, you are not to consider anything other than what is brought up in the courtroom. The case brought to them was while she was being interviewed about Lucas Hernandez, because she was the stepmother. She was caring for him. She called him in as missing. The reason Lucas Hernandez came up was for that. But the judge told them, look, you'll hear some things, but only consider what's in court, because police came across evidence that they say she told them in a videotaped interview that she got high and later drove with her one-year-old child to the Olive Garden to go get some food. And they found her ultimately not guilty. It was interesting how this all unraveled in the courtroom.
Well, and they had video of that interview with her. They played for the jury.
They did. And, you know, the detective was talking to her. Obviously, they did shed some new light on a few different things here. But some of what they were talking about was to say, hey, what did you do that day? What was your gathering of food for the children? There are two children in her care there. And they kept asking a number of questions along those lines. And one of the things she brought up with them, with the investigators in that interview was, yeah, I got high, I smoked some weed, and then out in the garage, not in the home, not near the kids, And she said that to investigators, and then still the jury came back and said there wasn't enough evidence. That's something that the defense kept hammering away on. They said from the beginning, in opening statements, you may hear some things that include the use of marijuana or potential or alleged use of marijuana that she said, we don't know if she did it or not. She said she did it, but we don't know that she did. They kept hammering away on physical evidence, and they said, did you collect any physical evidence? To the prosecution, they said, well, we don't have any physical evidence. There was never a blood test done to see if she had marijuana in her system when she was driving.
Well, so just her confessing it is not enough then, huh? You got to have a little more evidence to back it up. Is that right?
Well, that appears to be the case. Now, they did go to an obscure point of law, the defense, to try and get the whole thing thrown out. The judge considered it and then said no, and they continued. They also brought in a woman named Joy who was in the Sedgwick County Jail at the same time as Emily Glass while she was awaiting her trial on this one count of endangering a child, allegedly. And that woman says, hey, I talked to Emily Glass. Emily Glass told me she smoked a few bowls and then later drove to the Olive Garden. So the defense drew out a timeline to say, hey, when she allegedly smoked marijuana and, you know, people say they do things, but did they actually do them? So we heard two different occasions, one from a videotaped interview and one from a witness who heard this, she says, in the jail where Emily Glass said she smoked a few bowls and later went to the Olive Garden with her child. They said, we don't know the time frame. She went to the Olive Garden at 4:30 in the afternoon, sometime around 5 perhaps, but we don't know that she still had anything in her system if indeed she did smoke marijuana.
Yeah, that was the question I was thinking, Craig. What was it between the smoking and the going to the Olive Garden? How much time elapsed there?
We're definitely into kind of a gray area there. No. She talks at length about getting up at 9 o'clock in the morning, feeding the kids, caring for the kids, doing some different things. And then it was around that time frame of perhaps 4:30 or so. And that's what the defense brought up several times, said, you will hear evidence, consider what the evidence is and what is missing. They kept saying the defense.
Yes,
the cell phone records show she was at the Olive Garden, but when did she drive and what was in her system? We don't know.
Sounds like, in addition to Emily Glass, who probably did not testify, but this jailhouse person and maybe a few police, it doesn't sound like there were too many people testifying in this.
Well, no, there were several people that testified. Now, there weren't a lot. I will say that. We did hear from a detective. We heard early on from what they tried to do when they started talking to Emily Glass about a different case, not this case. They were talking to her. And then we did hear from a CSI who gathered evidence, and then we heard from that jailhouse confession, and we did not hear from Emily Glass. Notably, she did not testify. She sat quietly throughout the entire proceedings of the trial on Tuesday and then the closing statements yesterday, but we heard from a CSI person, and that's something that the defense brought back and said, hey, listen, you've got a CSI guy that was in there for 8 hours, seven, 8 hours, and the defense said, did any of the officers at the house, inside the house, inside the garage, did anybody find any evidence of marijuana? The answer came back, no, they didn't find any physical evidence of marijuana.
All right. Hey, Craig, thanks for being with us this morning. We appreciate it. Craig Andrews from KSN. Thanks for being with us, bud, covering the Emily Glass trial. It's 8:16 now with Steve and Ted here on KNSS, and we've got something interesting going on today involving a lunch truck. Okay, Justin is with us this morning. Good morning, Justin.
Hey, good morning, guys. How we doing?
Where are you going to have your lunch truck today?
We're going to have them at our offices at Baxter & Associates. That's at the Collective area, which is by 21st and K96. If you're familiar where Justin's Ferment is, or New Spring Church, or Trinity Academy, we're back in that area.
Of course, Baxter & Associates with Investing Sense on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock right here on KNSS. And is there a special occasion, or are you guys going to have... just going to have a social lunch, luncheon social?
Yeah, just kind of a social lunch. You know, we love food trucks. I don't know. Do you guys like food trucks, Steve and Ted?
Sure. I like true food trucks, cars, airplanes, ships, anything. Yeah.
Yeah, we just thought we'd do it as something fun, kind of get to know our neighbors around there. There's a lot of new businesses all up around 21st and K96 at Greenwich and that kind of area. And we thought, hey, let's have it in the springtime. And it turned out to be it's
going
to be a beautiful day.
Oh, yeah. You got lucky on that one, okay?
I know.
Okay. So you're going to have some games and some music. Sounds like you're going to have a party up there from, what, 11 to 2?
Yeah, you know, 11 to 2, yeah, we'll have a couple games and some music. We're going to have three trucks, Funky Monkey Munchies. Try to say that three times fast.
Funky Monkey Munchies.
We're going to have
We're going to have B&S Sandwich Press and Brown Box Bakery. So it should be a good time.
All right. I just misspoke. And it's the Money Planning Hour. It's on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock.
Money Planning Hour on Sunday mornings. Yep, Don and I have been doing that show for a few years.
Why didn't you correct me a moment ago? You know, you can do that.
I don't want to. Hey, you're the man.
You. No, you can correct those.
Yeah, this is your spot.
It's
all
right? The Money Planning Hour, and it's on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. And listen, it sounds like you guys are going to have a good time. And again, you know, you're living right, Justin, because the weather, you know, is going to cooperate with you.
Yeah, no wind and no rain, so we're happy about that. But no, we appreciate it. If you guys want to stop by there from KNSS, or if you're listening and you want to stop by, feel free. It should be a good time.
One more time, Justin, where are you going to be exactly?
2103 North Collective Lane, Founders Circle by 21st and K96.
Got it. Thanks, Justin. Thanks for being with us this morning. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Get the lunch truck out there having a party. 8:19 now, Steve and Ted on KNSS. And it's sports time with Ted Woodward. And, you know, we're talking about Shocker baseball this morning, right, Ted?
Yep, Shockers in action. It's the last three games of the regular season. It's a road series for the Shockers in conference, visiting last place Memphis for these last three games, as the Shockers are getting ready for the postseason tournament after that in the American Conference. Of course, and you're making it the first time through this conference. The Shockers still getting to know some teams, and Memphis has one pitcher that the Shockers will be looking at some point this weekend. And let's get a discussion on that from the play-by-play voice of the Shockers, Mike Kennedy, and Wichita State head coach Todd Butler as they talk about Memphis pitcher Jonathan Bolin.
Against this USF team we just saw that can hit the heck out of the ball,
18.
He gave up two runs on four hits, no walks, and
18 yeah.
strikeouts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they can hit. So I was on the phone with a pro team today, scouting director, and another scout in the car, and they said he's going to pitch Saturday. Said, if he's on, watch out. So I said, well, hopefully he's not on. But he's really good, 18 strikeouts. I think he had some other games where he struck out a lot. And that'll be a good challenge for us.
Well, the Shockers will see him at some point this weekend. Wichita State at Memphis. Mike Kennedy has live pregame coverage beginning at 6 o'clock tonight. The game will start at about 6:30. And that's live right here on your home for Shocker baseball, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Major League Baseball yesterday afternoon in Kansas City. The Royals hosting the Tampa Bay Rays. And it did not go well for the Royals as they lost all three games to the Rays. First two were by one run. Yesterday it was by two runs. 5-3 was the final score. Tampa gets a three-game sweep. Its first sweep in Kansas City in 9 years. The Royals, meanwhile, 13-30 is their record. They are off to their worst start in 12 years.
Ouch.
Off day today for the Royals. NBA basketball last night. It was game two in the Western Conference Finals. The Houston Rockets hosting the Golden State Warriors. Former Kansas Jayhawk Tariq Black coming off the bench for the Rockets late in that game, and you heard the action on KFH.
This is offensive rebound. Tariq Black goes up strong and scores.
You know, Tariq Black did a good job when he played in L.A. You know, he'd get off the bench and then kick it in and hustle, scrap, handle, rebound.
There you go. Tariq Black had a couple of points, a couple of rebounds as the Rockets beat Golden State 127-105. That best of seven for the Western Conference is now tied at one game apiece between the Rockets and the Warriors. Pro baseball last night downtown Lawrence Dumont Stadium, the last preseason game for the Wichita Wingnuts. They lost an exhibition game to the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks 9-2 last night. Wichita dropped three of its five exhibition games, but now it all counts starting tomorrow night. Opening night is tomorrow night downtown for the Wingnuts. Huge win last night in men's soccer for FC Wichita, taking part in the U.S. Open Cup, second round of that national tournament. FC Wichita on the road at the Tulsa Roughnecks last night. Tulsa led 3-2 in the second half, but Wichita scored the last two goals, including one very late, as FC Wichita wins it 4-3 and advances into the third round of the U.S. Open Cup for the first time ever. Wichita will be at Dallas next week in the third round. FC Wichita off to a 3-0 start. Big win last night. College men's golf. Congratulations to the Kansas Jayhawks. They won their regional, their NCAA regional in Stockton, California yesterday. First time KU has ever won an NCAA men's golf regional. And the KU men's golf team, with that win, advances to the NCAA championships in men's golf for the first time in 18 years. Congratulations to the KU men's golf team. And in JUCO softball, the national tournament's underway. The Division I tournament in St. George, Utah. Of course, Butler Community College softball. Back-to-back national titles. They're going for their third in a row. And they got it off to a nice start yesterday, beating Walters State out of Tennessee 9-1. Butler will take on Southern Idaho this afternoon in the second round. Butler has won 42 of its last 43 games. And the Division II National Tournament underway in Mississippi. Cowley College won its opening round game yesterday, 3-0. Cowley in the second round this afternoon against LSU Eunice. Boy, Cowley softball and Butler softball both are going for national titles.
How about that?
And they both made it into the second round. There we go. That's sports with Stephen Ted, KNSS.
823, keep it here for the Hannity Morning Minute. New York Times will never say we got it wrong. That's coming up, Stephen Ted in the Morning on KNSS.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.